Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
True Hauntings is a Frightfully Good production.
Stay on the highway, they said. Don't stop for anything and just keep driving. That's the advice from truckies who crossed the Pilliga Expanse between Narrabri and Coonabarabran in New South Wales, Australia.
The ancient bushland is the place of mysterious stories of hairy men and a white-haired Aboriginal woman who was named the Pilliga Princess. The woman was real, sure enough, and seen by many, until she died. Then she continued to be seen, and so terrifying were the encounters that many truck drivers preferred to take the long way around the area than see her in the headlights of their vehicles. Hi, I'm Renata.
And I'm Anne, and in this episode of the True Hauntings podcast, we head out bush in search of the legendary Pilliga Princess to find out if she still haunts the Newell Highway. It's time to light the fire. Put the billy on and sit back as we take you down the road to find the truth behind one of the most well-known legends of the New South Wales Outback.
Anne and Renata have been investigating paranormal occurrences for the past 20 years. They have been at the center of various unexplained phenomena and have witnessed countless ghostly experiences. The duo now turn to high-profile cases that have attracted the eyes of the world. Between the dimensions we see and the dimensions we don't, supernatural forces are at play. Evil lurks within the shadows of our homes and in the darkest corners of our minds. It follows us like a shadow, forever. This is where nightmares become reality. This is True Hauntings.
I'm a truckie, mainly do all road train work from Brisbane up around the top of Australia to Perth and along the Nullarbor, seen some strange shit, but nothing like this, mate. Never really ventured into Victoria, New South Wales due to scalies and revenue raising, but had to do an express run to Melbourne via Sydney and had to come back up the Newell Highway to collect a load for Toowoomba. My boss said, I don't mind if you pull up before you get around Coonabarabran, as some drivers choose not to go through at night, with a giggle in his voice. I said, she'll be right, mate. Plenty of hours left, all good. So I hooked in. Was in between Coonabarabran and Narrabri, and a Sheila out of nowhere flagged me down hitchhiking, looking to go home to a camp, and I thought, what the fuck is this shit? I said, hop in, and air stood up all over my body with an instant thought I should have kept going. She stunk like nothing I smelt before and the cab was destroyed with stench. She didn't say a word and just gazed ahead. About 20 kilometres down the road and not passing one vehicle, the old woman said, here, this is it. And I had to stop in a gully and off she went with a bag. No thanks, nothing. I looked around, but not a fucking thing in sight with no lights or tracks or anything. Glad she was gone, because my guts were almost ready to explode. Pulled up the other side of Narrabri for a few hours and decided to get going at daybreak, but had to sleep in the trailer because the smell was so horrible. Woke up to another truckie kicking his tyres, doing a pre-start, and I climbed out, to which he replied, "Fuck, mate, they're working you pretty hard." I continued to explain the cab's absolutely stinking from the hitchhiker lady, and he went pale white and told me exactly where it happened. I said, "Yeah, mate." And he said, "Mate, that nutter was run over back in 1993 by a truck." I gulped and thought, "Fuck me. What the fuck is going on? Is this fucker for real?" This was in 2014, and to this day, never been anywhere near that part of New South Wales. Pilliga Princess is real for sure. I told the boss and he laughed and said, "There's coldies in the fridge, so hurry the fuck up." He showed me the camera in the truck. It shows the passenger door opening by itself and closing by itself as I'm looking across talking, but nothing on the video of her. Just thin air.
Well, Anne, I must say that is one of the most entertaining stories that you have done.
Yeah.
How many times did we stop?
I've given up writing down notes. I had made six lots of correction notes because we were just laughing so much. Every time there was a naughty word, we're like schoolgirls. Yeah. So in the end, I had to send Renata out of the room, and I'm going to put the uncut version up for the Grand Poobahs to listen to, yeah. Our Patreons. If you want to become a Patreon, please do. But, yeah, they'll get the uncut version, which is hilarious. You love Renata's wheeze, then that's where you're going to be hearing the wheeze.
Oh, dear.
She was not – because she hadn't heard that that soundscape, and it took her a little bit by surprise with, "Yeah, nah, nah, yeah.
Nah, yeah, nah.
Nah." It's very Australian.
If you have any issues in understanding that, just let us know. And we'll translate it for you. Oh, dear. Well, let's get on with this one because this is a Australian story.
Oh, no, just before we go into that, you told me a very funny little story about a lady that likes to burn, what's that stuff, you know, that you light it up and it smells really nice?
Incest.
Incest.
Yes.
That happened to you in the shop today,
yeah,
apparently.
Yeah, it did. It did. She loves the smell of incest.
I don't want to know what it smells like. Thank you.
It's jasmine, actually, because that's what I had.
I'll never smell jasmine again.
That's what I had on. The funniest thing is it did not occur to her that she'd said anything wrong. So
I'll just
let it go. I wasn't going to interrupt that glorious moment.
She was loving it. And she was sharing a happy moment with you. And
she
don't want to let her know what she was talking about.
No.
Oh, there you go.
Not at all.
Anyway, there's a little anecdote for you. Got a bit of a wheeze there.
Yes.
Off you go.
So we are in New South Wales, Australia.
Our home state.
Yes, and we are talking about a...
Bogans.
...legend, a myth that has been around for, well, as long as I can remember. So it's probably been around for...
200 years.
200 years. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about the background, very, very tiny little bit. And before we begin... I just want to say that the Pilliga is the traditional country of the Gamilaroi people, and I want to take a moment to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging.
Beautiful.
Now, what does the word Pilliga mean? It actually means swamp oak.
Lovely.
And it is a Gamilaroi word meaning swamp oak, and it was used firstly around the mid-1800s as the name of one of the original grazing runs that was there.
Mm-hmm.
And people from all over the world were coming to purchase these big areas of land. How anyone came to Australia and wanted to move away from the coast, I have no idea.
It's a very hot day here today. If it wasn't for air conditioning, we would be dying. What did it get up to, about 42 degrees or something?
Yeah.
It's foul.
Yeah. Now, the geology of the area that we are in is something really interesting when you hear about it because it is dominated by Pilliga sandstone, which is coarse red to yellow in colour. It's a Jurassic sandstone, and it contains about 75% of quartz.
Oh, quartz.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
15% plagioclase and 10% iron oxide. Now, we have a place around here
that we like to visit
and when we went out with our K2s, what did we find?
Everywhere had high EMF readings.
And what's in the ground?
Not power cables.
No,
it was quartz.
Quartz. So this is interesting to note, because this might be why that particular area seems to have so much activity. Now, to accurately picture the vast size of the Pilliga forest that we are talking about, or the scrub, as we would call it, Pilliga scrub, you've got to think big. It's about the size of two Sydney metros.
Sydney metro what?
The metropolis of Sydney.
Oh, right. Okay. Twice, so the city of Sydney.
Twice the size of the city of Sydney.
Wow, that's big.
So it's home to the largest native forest west of the Great Dividing Range, and the Pilliga forest consists of unmistakably beautiful Australian trees and bushland. It encompasses about 5,000 square kilometres of public bushland with stunning sandstone gorges and wildlife. A lot of the sandstone caves were used by the First Peoples, and it is visible from space.
What?
It's visible from space.
That must be big.
It's big. So the Pilliga is the largest temperate forest in eastern Australia. It's, of course, got conservation significance. So it is a national park in areas, and it's home to abundant wildlife and provides a haven and irreplaceable refuge for plants, rare birds, animals that are now disappearing everywhere else. And it's the only place in Australia where you can find the Pilliga mouse, the tiny little Pilliga mouse.
I'll bet it's cute.
And it's also internationally listed as an important bird area. And
so much.
If you are a stargazer, it is one of the best places on earth to see the stars.
I'm a belly button gazer.
Okay.
I'm coughing because I was laughing so hard it's emptied out my lungs.
Now, the Pilliga is also a place of powerful cultural significance for the Aboriginals, and it reminds us of the Dreamtime legends of the Hairy Man. Now, he has lived and survived in the Pilliga since time immemorial.
Shout out to Yindia Mara for sending us that book with all the Hairy Man stories in it. It's fabulous.
Now, the Pilliga is sacred land to the Gomeroi and Wailwan people, and I do apologise if I have said that wrong. And it provides an abundance of foods, medicines.
Oh, jeez, the volume just went up. What happened there?
Ochre and a great variety of useful resources in the rocks, plants and water that us white people would never, ever know.
No, we'd
find.
Just bulldoze it and think they're weeds.
Yeah, but we'd also just die out there.
Yeah, we would. Surrounded by food and water, no doubt.
Yes.
Because there was no McDonald's. We couldn't crawl through a McDonald's. I just need a cup of Sprite, please. 7-Up. Actually, can it be diet? I'm dying.
No, 7-Up's Kentucky Fried.
I know, but I was trying to help out our American friends who would know the 7-Up, Mountain Dew,
now,
Dr. Pepper.
The other thing out there is song lines and stories.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this is interwoven into this massive, beautiful history that the Aboriginal people out there have long been custodians of and still are.
What are song lines for our people that are listening at home? In the car or wherever?
I dread to think that I will get this wrong. Well, so let me gather my thoughts before I come back on this.
All right. Have you researched your mind palace now?
I didn't want to get this wrong.
I know, it's important.
I honestly, it would have just been horrible. So the term song line describes the features and directions of travel that were included in a song that had to be sung and memorized for the traveler to know the route or route to their destination.
So it was like they had
a vocal map.
Yeah. And it's passed down by word of mouth.
Yes.
And that's how they knew where to travel from town to town and what to look for. And wow.
Yeah. So certain songlines.
So no Navman or Tom Tom.
No. And it's like freaking vast.
It's huge.
there could be miles and miles and miles without a dip or anything. Like it's just
no
flat.
French onion or guacamole.
So certain songlines were referred to as dreaming pathways because of the tracks forged by creator spirits during the dreaming time. Fabulous stories. Thousands of years old.
Just like my story that started off the show.
Yes, right. Now, let me get back. Oral.
What am I supposed to do with that?
Oral history. Oral maps. That's what I was trying
to do. Oh, God. Oh, God.
I'm trying to be good. It just doesn't work.
You're just throwing me a line there. And I'm like, I can't walk away from that.
Sorry. I was trying to think of that word 5 minutes ago. 5 minutes ago and it dropped into my mind just then. I had to say it. Sorry.
So oral is with mouth and oral is with the ears. Let's put it like that. How's that?
Oh, God. Now, Mother Earth delegated the responsibility to recharge the waters of the Great Artesian Basin, and she appointed the Hairy Man as the protector and custodian of the forest. So these legends of these big hairy men, or Yowies, or what are they? Yowies? Yeah, Yowies?
Yes, in Australia.
Yeah, again, part of this Dreamtime legend. How did the world get here? How was it made?
It's the Bible.
Yeah. Well,
probably closer to reality than the actual Bible.
Story. Yeah,
Bible. But it's like the creation. Where was it all created?
Yep.
In the Christian mythology, it's the Bible. And in our indigenous.
Who are you? Your outside voice.
Sorry. Keep going.
Okay.
We're just in so much trouble this episode.
Yes. With the respect due to the Gomeroi people of the Pilliga, who for centuries have personally witnessed the presence of the Hairy Man, do not dismiss the almighty being who physically exists within the forest as its appointed keeper. I'll tell you where this comes from in a minute. Gomeroi people have always held him in high regard and do not underestimate his power and strength, and often they leave food for him to eat to appease him, otherwise he will run after you.
Ooh, being chased by the Hairy Man. That sounds like my typical Saturday night with my husband.
So this actually comes from wilderness.org. Pilliga Culture Heritage Report 2021. So I was just reading a little bit about the background of this place. So it's, you know, really interesting. But we're going to go to this whole story of this
and
phantom.
Jeff Yindermara sent us this awesome book called You Kids Count Your Shadows, and it's all about the Hairy Man and the Hairy Women. And I think they're called the Yuri. Yuri?
Yeah, Yuri.
Anyway, keep going.
So, the most well-known phantom of the Pilliga is Claire Wibson. So, we're kind of starting off with a allegedly true story. So, the Pilliga princess is based on a woman that existed, and her name was Claire Wibson, and she was tragically killed by an oncoming truck in the middle of the night. Now, since this night, she's been reported to be seen by countless people that still travel along the Newell Highway, and she has a reputation for being unnerving in that she will appear in the headlights when you don't even kind of think, you know, miles and miles and miles of nothing. The only other thing that you might come across is a kangaroo or a wombat, and all of a sudden she appears in the headlights of the trucks or the cars going past, and she has a slender body and flowing white hair.
Apparently the white hair is a real shocker.
Yeah.
I've actually got many different versions of what she looked like and who she was, which I'm going to share with you all shortly.
Interesting. Now, Claire was what many people would envisage as an old bag lady. So I don't know whether that term still exists. I've heard it used sort of overseas, but don't know whether it's kind of used
well,
here.
Basically, they're living out of a bag on the streets.
Yep. Reclusive, dishevelled, not smelling the best, as your soundscape
Stinky.
Said. Described as crazy by the locals. She mysteriously moved about the place all on her own. She carried everything that she had literally on her. She had a past that no one really knew about, and people would often contemplate what this person was and who she was and what she was doing. So they'd make up stories.
Yeah.
Some locals claimed that she'd been married to a wealthy man who cast her out, while others said that her husband had died in a fire and she was left behind with several daughters. They do know that Claire lived alone in her camp located in a dry creek bed within the depths of the Pilliga scrub. Now, she was well known in the area for many years, and she would travel along the highway, often in complete darkness, either walking or hitchhiking between the towns of Narrabri and Coonabarabran, which are located on the northern and southern edges of the Pilliga scrub, respectively.
But we can be respectful as well.
So she would do some shopping or whatever and then stand on the edge of the highway, hoping to get picked up and taken to where she wanted to. She was a unique character of the outback, and to the truckers who were driving along, she kind of was interesting company for those that provided a ride for her. She would come across a little scary, especially if she got in and didn't say a lot until it was time for her to get out. And one particular truck driver familiar with her said that he never used to lock his truck door when taking a rest in the back at night, except when close to the Pilliga. He claimed Claire was known to open the doors of trucks parked at rest stops, waking the sleeping truckers and demanding to be driven back to her camp then and there.
I have a funny little story to interject here, if I may. Where I live here in Newcastle, I was driving out to one of the major shopping centres and I pass a whole lot of flats on Glebe Road, which are known as the Housing Commission flats. And they are very small little apartments, units that are provided by the governments to people of low income who can't afford to rent a house. So you end up with a lot of people in there that may not be able to be employed due to illness, mental health issues, just not fitting into society. And you end up with some real characters. Anyway, I was driving along and I had to turn right just at the end of the flats, actually near where your doctor was.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this car that was waiting to turn out into the main street. So I had right of way. He was waiting for me to turn so they could go. But there was this older lady who was standing at the car, bashing his window with a handbag saying, "Let me in. I need a lift. I need a lift." And I was just captivated by this scene that was unfolding before me. And I just was looking and watching and forgetting that I was on a road waiting to turn right. And he couldn't go until I left. And I was just laughing. And then he's looked at me and gone, "Please go." I went, "Oh, sorry. Sorry," and I turned.
Yeah.
But she was still trying to get in his car as he drove off.
Yeah. I wonder whether she actually thought he was a taxi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or somebody she knew that was meant to pick her up.
Yeah.
There was definitely some sort of probably Alzheimer's or dementia or mental health issues going on there. But at the time, I couldn't help but have a little bit of a giggle at this poor fellow who was trying to be very nice and kind and say, "No, stop touching my car."
Yeah.
Anyway, it just reminded me of this story.
Yeah. Now we go back one night in 1993. This lovely lady, known as the Pilliger Princess, was hit and killed by a truck.
Aww.
The truck driver who hit her said she had wandered out into the middle of the road and he hadn't seen her until it was too late.
Now, I'm going to apologise. We have to turn the fan up. It is really hot in here. So if you hear some fan in the background, my apologies, but it's better than listening to us dying on the floor.
Yeah. Now, in the subsequent investigation that was held when he was taken to the police station, he would describe how she was lit by the headlights. She turned to look directly at him and ran toward him, arms outstretched. Now, the last thing he saw of her alive was the white hair flaring out around her wild-eyed face, and the expression was one of manic glee. So she may have been having some sort of an episode.
Yeah, I'm picturing that.
Yeah. It kind of doesn't stop there. Mm-hmm. I don't want to tell any other stories about her because that's what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the fact that this area is known for a number of different things, not only the Pilliger Princess. Again, you know, we talked at the beginning about the hairy men
mm-hmm.
That are the custodians of that particular area. So many people have seen Yowies or people overseas might know them as Bigfoot or Bigfoot type creatures.
Yeah.
And
cryptids.
They have been seen a lot. And the local the local Aboriginal people, there is a story that they have said that the area is cursed and they even avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
So, I wonder if that's to do with the quartz in the ground, is that it's actually sort of the energy in there, it makes you feel, because you know how we talk about if you're sensitive to electromagnetic fields, that you feel like someone's watching you have headaches, you feel unwell.
Yeah.
It could be that.
It could well be
and
that.
And that's why people avoid it, because they think there's something evil there and it's actually quartz.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hmm.
Truck drivers sometimes will avoid it, depending, I guess, on whether the truckies know of the area well. And there might be a new truckie coming along and they'll kind of, you know,
they'll G them up,
stir them up and, you know, tell this story. But it has been told for a really long time. And we know of many, many paranormal investigators who will go out specifically to spend a night out in the Pilliger to try and you know, either see a UFO or a hairy man or the Pilliger Princess. They do talk about it as a place that has those dry thunderstorms too,
mm-hmm.
where you'll have lightning and rainbows and rain and everything all kind of within an hour. And the dirt roads out there are treacherous.
Yeah.
So it's a place that you do not go to if you're a city person.
You need a four-wheel drive.
You need a four-wheel drive and you need and someone a long who range. Knows. Yeah.
Don't
someone
think a Tesla would do too well out there.
No.
It'd be far and few between charging stations.
As someone who really knows the area really well, I think it'd be fascinating. It'd be really, really interesting to go out there. I don't know if I'm ready yet. But tell me your stories.
Oh, over to me already. Now, this highway, which is out in the outback of Australia, is very famous for many things. UFOs, aliens, monsters, and of course our beautiful Pilliger Princess. And as you were saying, it's said that truck drivers will actually drive way out of their way to go around this area because they've had experiences there that they can't explain and they don't like. Now, a lot of my research for this particular thing has had to come from, what do you call them? Threads on mm-hmm. Reddit and personal experiences.
I found this very difficult to find information on.
Yeah. You know that there is a grave for the Pilliger Princess, and it actually has her name on it.
Mm-hmm. Claire.
Yep, there was somebody who deliberately went looking for it. They said, on my trips traversing the country, I have looked for her grave when passing through Coonabarabran over the past couple of years. Today I found her, and not a moment too soon, as I may never have the chance to drive this stretch of road again. The old white cross in existing photos no longer exists. I wonder if somebody's taken it as a
souvenir.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Souvenir, that just makes me sick. And this headstone and plaque have been donated by the truck drivers using this stretch of road.
I will post a picture of that on our True Hauntings podcast page when this is up so that you can have a look at it.
All right. Now, I might go into a little bit more about the actual princess. This is one that comes from the Grey Nomads. I love some of these threads. They are quite funny. Now, this one says that the princess was thought to have lost it in the city and just went bush. She reckoned her family, especially her two daughters, just wanted her money. Another theory was that she was on a property around Gunnedah, fell pregnant to the boss, and hung around with the Boggabri for a while. That's the name of a town. She had her baby taken off her. She snapped, went to, and just wandered through the Pilligra. She did have a base camp about 40 k's from the T at Coonabarabran. She had the wildest head of white hair you could imagine. She wandered up and down the Newell, only as far north as Narrabri, but south to West Wyalong. She had several friends with the IPEC drivers. Probably how she got most of her lifts. I met her once. I was having a sleep in my truck at the top of the hill, just up from the T, north of Coona. Bang, bang on the door. Give me a lift up to my camp. I said, no, let me sleep. Bang, bang. I want a lift up to my camp. I was awake by then. I heard the princess used to come along to each truck, open the door, get in, make the driver take her up to her camp. Any place I have ever locked my truck, so this is probably the one that you were referring to.
Mm.
Cranked up the old girl, didn't stop to Gundawindi, got the hell out of there. funnily, I slept in the middle of the Pilliga, knowing the legend myths of the princess and the Yowie, and never locked the doors there. But they're going to lock the doors in that area from then on.
Mm.
So another first-hand account was from Bradley Smith, who said the Pilliga Princess was as real as the nose on your face. These are such Australian
yep.
things. She walked the Newell Highway every day as a youngster travelling on the school bus to Narrabri. We would see her every week on the Newell Highway. It was said that her husband was a truck driver. Huh. And he died in an accident.
Mm.
And that she never believed he was dead and was determined to find him. So she walked that highway every day looking for him until one day she determined she would never find him and walked out to the path of an oncoming truck to be with her husband again. She lays in the Coonabarabran Lawn Cemetery as real as the eyes in your head. She had small humpies set up everywhere along the Newell Highway. She used as shelters to sleep in. Claire Wibson was her name and died in 1993. So humpies are little shacks, almost like a kid's cubby house that you would just throw together and you could, you'd have a bit of shelter. It's a very Aussie word, that one.
Mm.
Now, in another one, they described her as being well known for her red fishing hat that she used to wear, pulled down to eye level, dressed in a World War One overcoat. So that was very specific.
Oh, gosh. An yeah. overcoat.
In Australia.
In the outback. Oh, my gosh.
I think someone's got very creative. Now, I did notice that there was a movie made about the Pilliga.
Yes, something in the Pilliga.
Yeah, something. There's something in the Pilliga or something mm-hmm. it's called. And I'm just wondering if some of these stories may be crossing over from movie to
that's a fairly recent yeah. one though so yeah. don't know but oh, sure. It is online so I think might be tonight's viewing.
Oh really? And this one cracked me up a little bit, I have to say. There was in another thread it said she scares the crap out of you by running straight at your truck. Heard about her, never seen her. Claire something was her name, or so I've heard. Slim reckoned there was something there. And then the reply to that was, she spoke, but usually only to ask if you wanted personal servicing.
Really?
She was a very large Indigenous girl with a definite odour. Now, that doesn't match any of the other stories about
no.
her.
No.
I wonder if they're just making that up. Oh, and then it goes on again about the princess did exist, was killed in 1993. So that seems to be a fairly common thread.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we have the headstone with
yes.
the name, her name and the Pilliga Princess on it, and that she died in 1933. They said she
93.
Yep. She was in her 50s when she died. And the person that was writing this did say, before you say anything, I engaged in no personal servicing. They were just making sure that because he knew so much about this particular person that it wasn't because he was serviced. Oh dear. But then it goes on to some more interesting stories. So people, as you said, investigators and things like to get out there and try and have their own experience. So a lot of the stories are is that this figure appears in front of you and looks like they're right in front of your truck at the last minute or your car, and they look manic and insane, and then they just disappear. Or yeah. she gets into the cab with you and then will disappear,
yeah.
which is very typical hitchhiker ghost story
mm-hmm.
things that are going on. But this person said, whenever I see posts about cool areas, I have a tendency to use Google Maps and sort of check the area out myself. So anyway, I was driving, and they mean Google driving, and not in real life driving, along the road between Ballata and Coonabarabran, around the spot where the guy stopped. I rotated my camera around and saw this. Now, you'll have to remind me, Renata, to put the photo up. And it's from Google Maps, and mm-hmm. it's this glitch, as they like to call it, in the camera. They said it's probably nothing significant, but I've never seen a glitch like this using Google Maps, and I've been using it since 2008. I don't know, I just found this to be weird, especially with all the other stories surrounding the area. Now, I wonder if that's something to do with the courts.
Could be.
This is written 9 years ago. Update. It's happening all along the road. Just move the Google Map car to the town of Coonabarabran to see if it's just a glitch on my side, but it's not happening anywhere else but on that part of the road. Any logical explanation beside aliens were screwing around? And, of course, somebody then has to jump in and go, the government is censoring the photos of Aussie aliens and dinosaurs and stuff. They have a bot that glitches out photos of classified beings.
All right. Oh. Yep.
And then someone said, you're correct. It's not aliens. It was Bigfoot. Aussie Bigfoot. Actually, I don't know. I don't even know if Australia has a Bigfoot. I know they supposedly have demons or something wandering in the outback. I'll just be honest and say I don't know anything about Australia except they drink a lot of beer. So that person wasn't even an Australian.
Very knowledgeable. Thank you.
This is how stories start.
Great information there.
And look, you've probably realised there's swear words in this episode. We might have to put a warning up somewhere. And this one replied with, we don't have Bigfoot in Australia. We have drop bears, which are far worse.
Oh, yes, they are terrible.
And a bunch of angry spirits of Aboriginal elders telling us to get the fuck off their land.
We are recording this on Australia Day as well.
Yes, yes. And then it goes, drop bears aren't a laughing matter. My cousin lost his dog to one, freaky little fuckers.
Oh, I love it. And see, this is what happens, and this is when people will walk away going, oh, that's real.
It is real.
Because we're dead serious when we talk like that.
We are. We can be deadpan, and you'll never know. And let me tell you, when we get together with Dave Schrader, anything can go down. People will have no idea what the truth is. Just be warned. If you ever do a tour with Dave, Renata and myself, take everything with a grain of salt. I've got to get to the next page. So I did find that a lot of the stories about the Pilliga Princess were the same. So I started to sort of hunt around for some other stories as well. And we have the Yowies or the creatures. And this one was going to be my original soundscape until I realised it had nothing to do with the Pilliga Princess. But I'm going to give it to you guys now anyway. This is called Unknown Creature Pilliga Australia. I just seen your recent video on Annie's Monster and it was stunning, but it made me want to share a story of my own. When I was growing up around the age of 14 or 15, I went camping with my friend in an area which was 45 kilometres each way from the nearest town here in Australia. It is called the Pilliga. I keep going to the Pilgra. I don't know why. Pilliga. Now, there are several supernatural stories about the Pilliga having Yowies, which is Australian Indigenous Bigfoot, and other paranormal beings within the area, and all can be found on YouTube documentaries. I use that word very loosely with YouTube, including a very vivid story of a man named Bongo, which I'm going to get into Bongo shortly. So this is their story. The night we set up camp in the scrub, a few hours had passed. It was about 3 a.m. in the morning. We're on the phone to a friend playing truth or something, as kids do. And then we heard what sounded exactly like the noise the Grudge makes in the movie, The Grudge. Now, I thought I was the only person who heard it. It was coming from the other side of the tent. So I stopped what I was saying, turned to my friend who was holding the phone, and we just stared at one another until he mouthed, "Did you hear that?" And that's when we panicked and jumped up inside the tent, which was closer to where the noise was coming from, but had our knives out, etc. While we were in a panic, we told the person on the phone to be quiet as we whispered about what to do. I actually made a Facebook post about it at the time as I was young and really scared. And if I died, I just wanted people to know what I died from. Oh, in the end, we just sat dead still in the tent and just stared at the wall of the tent that the noise was coming from until whatever was making the noise poked at the tent and dragged whatever it was poking at the tent with along the tent's side for about 10 centimetres and then just stopped. My heart was beating so hard I could hear it in my ears. My friends and I both on the brink of tears as it knew we were there. I sat up until 4:30 and then began to get tired. My friend was already asleep and so I thought I should do the same. What's strange about all of this is that we were really obsessed with the supernatural at the time. So we were messing about with pentagrams and other symbols, carving them into trees and etc. only an hour or so before this had happened. But I think it is unrelated. The next morning I woke up and there was nothing in sight, no more noises or scratches on the tent. I ended our 3-day stay and left with my friend that morning. I have no idea what it was to this day, but I now believe there is something in the Pilliga. Although I am skeptical, there has been many sightings of supernatural beings and indigenous stories relating to large figures that live in the Pilliga. I highly recommend you delve further into this and try to find something, as I have never crossed the road we were staying at since it had happened.
No. Don't go putting things in trees either.
Yes, don't carve it into the trees.
No.
I would be doing something to scare the living daylights out of them for doing that. Now, I think it's time for...
Bongo.
Bongo. Now, I've got to find the right one because I've got two versions. Now, this is the story of the Pilliga Yowie and a man called Bongo. So, this was in the national park, and it's known that many truckers avoid it and all of that sort of stuff. You know, there's also Min Min lights seen there as well, which we covered in another episode. On a late night, early morning Australian radio program called Overnights from 2 to 6 a.m., they held a few special nights dedicated to stories from the Pilliga region. Listeners could call the station and tell their Pilliga stories on the air. On that night, the radio station had two of their people in the Pilliga scrub reporting live by satellite phone. At one point, the connection dropped and the signal wasn't restored for some time. When it finally returned, the reporters were okay and the cut signal was explained. And that's not the bongo bit. there was, I think this was something to do with the ABC recordings, because they had somebody call in and tell the story of being abducted by a Yowie.
Mm-hmm.
And dragged off through the bush to its sort of hut.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very dark. And he sort of said that he could see shelves and things. So it was very crudely set up as a hut. And of course, now I can't find the story. I think I've cut out the wrong bit. But he rang up to tell his story about what happened to himself in the Pilliga. And when he was recounting the story, you could hear it in his voice. And I did hear some of it. It's actually hard to find the recording now. And this man legit sounded terrified mm-hmm. of what had happened to him. And he states that he was hospitalized after the event. And they named the name of the institution, which I had here. It was called Happy Days Stays Retreat, which is supposed to be an insane asylum for people who are mentally unhinged mm-hmm. from something. So whatever this event was had unhinged him that much that he had committed himself to live in this place forevermore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Now, a lot of people sort of got up in arms about it, and some were saying it's confirmed fake. There is no such place as Happy Days Stay Retreat, and there were several other fallacies in the story. It was an excellent story, and the guy who called in did a hell of a job. He could be crazy, and he could just be imagining and making it up on the fly, or they could actually believe it's happened to them. But they said it was far scarier though than any leg collecting wood monster. I don't know what that means.
Collecting wood monster.
Yep. And this one came from another thread, probably in Reddit. Apparently you didn't listen to the background information. At the time of the recording, Bongo had been a patient in a psychiatric hospital for 20 years as a result of the horrifying experience. So show the poor bastard a bit of respect. love these.
Yeah.
Anyone with half a brain should be able to tell that he was terrified, even when telling the story 20 years after it happened. I've cared for patients such as Bongo, and I guarantee you that people don't go grey overnight and lose their minds simply as a result of an imaginary experience while pissed. Yowies and bunyips are a real phenomena. Well, I don't know about the bunyips, because I think even our Indigenous say that they were stories made up to try and make the children do the right thing. Ask anyone who has spent any amount of time in the Australian bush. Our Aboriginals have been talking about them for centuries. They are a deeply spiritual race who don't invent stories for the amusement of dopey whites. Bloody cynical, closed-minded debunkers really shit me. You tell them. You clowns think that you can criticise people when they relate an experience simply because the story's beyond your tiny realm of experience. You have absolutely no evidence, yet you call Paul Bongo a liar or claim he is delusional. Bongo has his evidence. It's 20 years of mental anguish, fear and pain, plus a head covered with white hair acquired in minutes. He doesn't need your disrespect as well. Maybe you were the one who was too pissed to notice anything while you were out there.
Ooh, them's fighting words.
So obviously he must have turned white with fright, is part of the story.
Yes, I don't think your hair can turn white.
No.
Like... it can grow white
from the roots. Yeah.
Yeah, from the roots it can then grow white.
Yes, it can't.
But it can't turn white.
You need a hairdresser. Yeah. You need to be bleaching your hair. And then we follow up with this one. Now, I thought this was a very interesting take on it. It's worth bearing in mind that in traditional ways of talking for bush folk, bushies or bushmen, to refer to a place by a joke or fake name, especially if they are sensitive about the topic. If Bongo didn't want to say the name of the institution where he is a patient, it is quite likely he would have given it a joke name that makes light of his predicament, such as Happy Days. It's a bit like verbal form of laughing when embarrassed, and it's a colourful feature of the way that bushmen sometimes talk. The characteristic is also seen in Cockney speech, which is almost certainly where it descends from an Australian speech. And Bongo does talk with the accent, inflection and style of an old-time bushman, which is, after all, what he claims to be, or the truck driver's version of it. Australian folk poetry and bush ballads is full of this sort of humorous reference naming.
Right.
And they are right.
That's really, really interesting.
I know that there was a friend of mine who was taking some tablets, and they used to call them their stupid pills.
Yes.
And it's happy pills, but you make them sound something completely different to the other people, so they don't, you know, they have a laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Australians do.
Yep.
They will turn things around and make it funny.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if he's been calling that place Happy Days for 20 years, he wouldn't even remember what it was called.
Yeah. Yes. But apparently there is still more out here in the Pilliga. Oh, I just forgot to tell you one about another Yowie. They were saying that there are terrified truck drivers who have unknowingly pulled over in one of the designated rest areas, only to be woken from their exhausted sleep to hear earth-shattering roars of some mysterious beast. That would be koalas mating.
It would be. Look, they are frightening.
Look that up on YouTube, people.
It is the weirdest sound ever. You would never think that a sound like that comes from what
a
looks
cute
like.
Cuddly thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please look it up. Let us know what you think.
They'd rip your eyes out.
So they're woken from their exhausted sleep to hear the earth-shattering roar of some mysterious beast, and their trucks shaken and metal pulled apart, leaving behind huge hands and footprints.
Ooh.
Hunters also report seeing strange findings out in the scrub, such as kangaroos being found high up in hollows of trees with no way of explaining how they got there, concealed by bark covers as if in some sort of meat locker. Couldn't that possibly be Indigenous people that would be saving
maybe
their meat?
Yeah, maybe.
And they wouldn't put it down on the ground because they knew that, you know, other predators would get it. So they often describe at night the sound of the bush being unusually quiet and still, with the silence only being broken by the occasional roar of the frumious bandersnatch.
And
Is
that an actual thing?
Is Benedict Cumberbatch out? Someone of his cousins. I have no idea what that was, but I had to read it because it was just such a bizarre thing.
Okay, we've got to look this up.
Yeah, we've got to finish it up. All right, so there's other things out there as well. There's phantoms. Now, one of the other reports I found for the area was apparitions dressed in 1900s period clothing.
What?
Some frightening noises in the still of the night can only be described as moaning, crying, and screaming with old chains rattling.
Oh, okay.
But they also hear some happy sounds as well, like whistling and singing. And look, sound will travel in those areas. If it's completely flat land, you can see why there'd be all sorts of sounds everywhere. But a lot of the animals in the forest, or whatever you want to call it, would also be making their night noises. Now, Renata just couldn't help herself. She needed to know.
I have to know.
All right, come on, tell us. You found out what it is. And I bet there's many of you going, we know what that is. Are you illiterate? All right, go on, tell them what it is.
So the word frumious means very angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what bandersnatch is, other than it's probably
Made up word.
Something like a yowie or whatever. It comes from the poem Jabberwocky by Lewis Carroll.
There you go. See, all the literate people out there would know that. I don't.
Yes.
But I'm going to finish off with this from alienhub.com. Many claim that the Pilliga Forest is the biggest of its kind in New South Wales. It's an area as vast as the outback and yet cluttered and undiscovered. It truly is one of the last wild cradles of nature yet to be maimed by mankind. In fact, it has claimed more men than those who can claim to have conquered it. The region is home to many legends, from Old Man Grocer, who lived out in the Pilliga until he turned 100 years old. And then there is not to mention Hermy, who will shoot at you unless you leave him a ration of fruit or beer. And did I mention the Wanami giant snake, the sameness of the scrub, or the Jingra Yahoo, or Hairy Mary? Hairy Mary, it is believed and retold by locals and travellers alike, is a hairy woman who was once a prostitute and now roams the countryside, robbing and attacking people as they negotiate the unforgiving terrain.
Okay.
That was a change of direction in Korea, wasn't it? Others argue that it may be the infamous Yowie, a specimen confined to the cockroach corners of the soul that has successfully hidden from white and black men for thousands of years. The Pilliga has more Yowie sightings than anywhere else in Australia. Everyone from Messrs. McMahon, Trembath, Gilroy and Woolwork, recent local legend interviewees, I have no idea who they are, have claimed to have seen them from Oberon to Armidale. If the Yowie is not the apt description, then what is it? Bushwalkers such as Brett Mitchell claim to have found animal corpses severed surgically in half while traipsing the Pilliga scrub, and he is not alone. Another yarn is that a local man occasionally wore a black goatskin costume and it scared the hell out of people so much that even John Pinkney wrote about it in his Great Australian Mystery Book.
I have that one in my library, actually. I'll have to find it.
You could have told us some stories about the Pilliga from there.
No, there weren't any.
Oh, really?
There weren't
any. You didn't know where to look. So that is such an interesting story.
Yes.
And I'm sure many of our listeners, hi Erin, will be very happy that we've done an Australian story again. So, what do we do now? Is this place truly haunted?
I'm not going to find out. I'm sorry. Someone go out there, take some photos, bring them back and tell me. I am not going out there.
I was going to say, will you go out there?
No, not on your life.
There's no devastating tease out there.
Unless we have an air-conditioned camper van.
Not even then, because we'd run out of fuel or the blasted thing would break down and we'd be stuck out there with Hairy Mary, the Pilliga Princess and Bigfoot.
Oh, God.
Sorry, yowies.
It'd be terrifying. And that's not to even mention everything else out there that will kill you.
Yes. That's before we even look at
the snakes,
real stuff.
The spiders and everything else out there.
Oh, my. We love Australia.
Yes, absolutely. It's the best place on earth.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode. It's been a hoot. We've had a real laugh all the way through. And if you'd like to support our work, you know the things to do. Patreon, Anne and Renata, Frightfully Good. Or buy me a coffee, Anne and Renata. Just all those links will be down in the comments. We really appreciate you guys helping us to keep doing what we love doing. I'm heading off on a cruise tomorrow morning, and Renata's going to have a break from me for a week. So, guys, we'll see you on the dark side.
Don't forget to stay spooky.
Be frightfully good. Don't
be a dickhead.
Oh, we've stuffed that up. Let's go.
Don't be a dickhead.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this episode of True Hauntings. If you like the show, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. For more on Anne and Renata, follow at Anne and Renata on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or visit their website, www.anneandrenata.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.